Good morning. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. How many of you were just like so when I got food? Like, I literally woke up this morning thinking about all the buffalo chicken dip. And, like, I didn't even know where buffalo chicken dip was until I discovered it. I'm like, this has been missing from my life for 10 years. I just eat bowls of it. So good. So, all right. So I'm doing part 4 in my series of Breakthrough Blockers. Today's message is about unbelief. We're going to dig into it and have some fun. So, you know, if you've ever felt blocked or delayed or stuck in life, besides me, everybody felt blocked, delayed, stuck, frustrated, going in circles, just can't seem to get a breakthrough, same old ruts. I've been talking today about identifying what the sources of some of these things could be, and it's never a formula. I don't believe in teaching formulas, it just gets off track and weird. But in each one of these messages, I believe the Holy Spirit is examining our hearts and showing what each one of us is really struggling with. So today I am talking about unbelief. By the way, everybody deals with unbelief at times, besides myself. In December, I got hit with some like doubt, unbelief, fear, and it wiped me out for a month. And it's okay when your pastor says they were struggling, right? It's okay. And this message really was interesting. I had to do exactly what I'm telling you to do in this message. So, I want to say this, I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't already done and experienced some breakthrough in. All right, so unbelief can hinder us receiving by faith all that God has for us in life. Raise your hand if you would like all that God has for you in life. I do. I want that for you as well. So unbelief is often a result of ignorance of God's word, and that is the will of God. So if you don't know the will of God for your life or for your situation, it's in the word of God, and that's how we have to search it. You know, if you have a situation come up, you're like, God, I don't know what to do. What's your will? You got to dig through the word and find it. So unbelief also grows from just our natural senses, what we see, what we hear, physical things. You know, if you're believing God for healing in your life and you can physically touch a tumor, how many people know that physical touch can mess with your head and your faith? So what's going on in our senses can sometimes make it hard for us to stand in faith and just current circumstances around us. You know, really emotional things can rattle us. So unbelief is often a result of negative circumstances in our lives. I would say this was one I really dug into. If you've ever had a lot of injustice in your life, anybody experienced some major injustice? Yeah. Or disappointment? Yeah. I found out this was really a root of unbelief, and so we'll kind of examine this. Poor teaching and misinformation, tons of it out there. You ever been raised in a church and they would say things were in the Bible and then you look it up yourself and it wasn't in the Bible? Yeah. Okay, so it's just misinformation, and it stirs up unbelief in the will of God for your life. So when we don't know the will of God, we'll believe what any person tells us, especially if it's an authority figure in our life, right? Sometimes we trust authority figures and they're not telling us what's really going on. So if you've heard all your life one thing, and all of a sudden you hear on Sunday morning something different, do you think we might be dealing with some unbelief? All right. So the more you've been told that healing is not for today, how many of you have ever heard that from a pulpit? Yeah. The more you've been told this, you're less likely to believe it's going to happen in your life. The more you've been told that God doesn't want to provide for your needs, that God doesn't want to prosper you, how many know it's so much harder to receive provision when you're standing in faith to pay off your mortgage, or a big medical bill comes in, and you go, when you've been told, hey, it's not God's will for you to prosper, it's not God's will for you to have more than enough that you can bless someone else in their needs, it's hard to receive those things by faith. The more you're told that your situation is impossible, that your marriage is irreconcilable, it is so much harder to stand in faith. The more you've been told, we dealt with this last week, that you're an addict and you're always going to be an addict. We know that's baloney, right, according to the word of God, because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things do come new. So we've got to be really careful of the sources in our life that are telling us things that are counter to God's word, because it feeds unbelief. Amen. All right, I would say one of the large culprits of unbelief, which I want to talk about a little bit, is unresolved hurt and distrust from others. How many people know someone that you trusted and they hurt you, disappointed you, didn't keep their word? That can actually affect how you see God. I really realize this in doing youth ministry. So how we perceive others, especially parents or authority figures, can sometimes twist how we view God. I work with a lot of young people that have sometimes suffered abuse, especially if it be a father figure in their life, and them trying to receive or see God as a good God that loves them, wants to protect them. Satan really messes with that based on that experience. So it can weaken our ability to trust God and be trust God to be true to his promises. So I kind of have an example when I think about this. So I'd say the earlier in your life that you have been hurt or disappointed over and over again, we often struggle to believe that people will keep their promises. If you have a history of everybody that says they're going to do something, they don't do it, truth, right? It's hard to trust people and not believe their words or intentions. So when God gives us promises in his word, and every other person has never kept their word, it's a little harder to believe God and his promises. Here's an example that happens a lot, and I'm just going to throw it out there. You know, when a parent promises over and over and over again, they're going to pick you up for the weekend. I'll be there at 5:30. I'm going to pick you up, and you sit on your front porch with your overnight bag. An hour goes by, I've had this happen a lot of my teens and my young adults, and I love them so much. And that hurt and that disappointment of realizing someone you really loved or you thought really loved you enough to show up and keep the word does something funny to your heart. You stop expecting them to keep their word. You stop even ready for this, expecting good things in life. And you become very self-reliant, self-dependent, because you go, I'm never going to get disappointed again. I'm never going to rely on anyone else to take care of me again. I'm going to take care of myself. How many people have been in a situation like that? This is what growing up in a broken world does to us. And listen, that person that hurt us and disappointed, I don't think they had any clue of how that was going to affect us long term. But I will say that this is a good time to forgive them and move forward, because God wants to reveal himself as his source in your life. A good God, a good Father that wants to protect you, provide for you, heal you, and show up with the answers to the things you've been praying for.
Amen.
You know, we struggle with this, trying to be independent, self-reliant. And God's not our source. That's actually when we fall from grace. Did you know that? We talk about falling from grace. It's because we start thinking, I will work really, really hard at all my good efforts. Everything I'm going to do is going to provide for me in life. That is actually a fall from grace. And I want to teach on grace and faith today. I skipped some things in my notes, and I felt like the Lord said just before. So when we are not living by faith, vitally united, completely dependent on him, when we are not living by faith, we are not in right relationship with God. Did you know being right with God is not based about being perfect? And do you hear me? Did you know we mess up all the time? I my mouth gets me in trouble all the time. And I was hanging out with my mother-in-law last night, and I was like, blah, blah, blah. You know, when you say too much, and God's like, should have said that. As soon as I said it, I was like, yeah. But it was funny. It was true. He's like, stop, and you need to repent. So last night, I was like, Lord, I'm really sorry. You know, like, so all of us, by the way, we all mess up, right? How many people mess up all the time because of mouth? Funny people mess up all the time. You do so much apologizing. Truth hurts. Not always good to say. So, anyway. When we are not living by faith, we are not living in right relationship with God. You know, you can mess up and get in sin and still, hear me on this one, if your faith is in God, you say, God, I thank you for forgiving me. Lord, you are my source. He goes, you're right with me. Not because you're a perfect person, but because he is my source. I believe him. I am vitally united to him. How many people know, how many people besides myself are an utter mess up without being totally vitally connected to Jesus? Come on. That means we are right with God, even when we're messing up, because we need him and our faith is in him. All right, so we're going to talk about Abraham real quick. I have so much to teach. Let's see what happens. Okay, Romans 4, 11 through 14. The Lord said, I said, Sherry, don't worry about your notes. Let's have fun. I said, okay. Romans 4, 11 through 14 says, so Abraham, Father Abraham, had many sons, right? Many sons had Father Abraham. Am I one of them? And so are you. So let's just sing along. Okay, so Father Abraham, have you heard that song? People grew up in church a long time ago? Okay. So when we say we are a son or daughter of Abraham, this is the scripture it's talking about here. It says, so Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. That means, okay, do you really want to talk about this? Not really. But if you have faith in God, but you're not a perfect person, you don't look up look the part, talk the part, bless the Lord, Lord, you don't have your suit on, Hey, you can be a son and daughter of Abraham just because you have faith in Jesus. Period. Okay? And they are counted as righteous, I am right with God, because of their faith. How many people have faith in Jesus? He is my source. He is my Savior. You are right with God. I'm good with him. Oh, God and I are good because I have faith in him. So verse 13, and go back and read this because there's a lot of good stuff in there. Read in a couple different translations. I would encourage you, Amplified Bible, New Living Version, Passion Translation. Read it and God will really blow open this. It's good. So verse 13 says, clearly then, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants, Father Abraham and many sons. Who's a descendant of Abraham? By faith in Jesus, okay? So he's talking to you. Was not based on his obedience to God's law, being perfect, checking all them boxes every Sunday, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who are so good at being good, getting everything right, being all perfect, we know they're a bunch of fakers. Come on. No one's got it all together. Some people are just better at faking it. And they're annoying, and I don't really like hanging out with them anyway. So, whatever. All right. You know it's true. It said, then faith is not necessary. The promise is pointless. That means God's saying, if you think you can earn my promises by being good enough, you got it all wrong. You're reading your Bible wrong. All right, so let's dig in. Okay. All right. Faith. We use our faith, our belief in God, to receive his promises. We don't work really hard to be good to earn it. Otherwise, you might just throw the whole thing out. Hear me? My faith, okay, is in him. So it's not by our own sweat or performance. All those overachievers out there, it is not because you're so good at being good that we receive the promises of God. It is only by faith. Remember Ephesians 2, let's see, 6. Remember that little chair up there? It was under the cross. Because we are joint seated with him in heavenly places, we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus, and therefore we inherit not only the promises of Abraham, but all the promises that God did through Jesus. Okay. We receive by faith the free gift of his grace and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all the promises of God, his provision, his healing, his restoration, all because we believe. Faith is the receiver, connector, the lightning rod to receive all that God has for you in life, his very best. Do you know if you settle for less than the best, you're going to just live a life that is less? But if you know the best of what God has for you and you can get your little faith receiver on, you will receive his best for your life. How many people have ever settled in a relationship? How did that go?
Horrible.
That was horrible. But if you can put your faith receiver up going, not because I'm good enough, but just because God loves me, my Father God loves me, he wants to put me in a good, healthy relationship, someone that builds me up and encourages me, never puts me to shame when I put a dick in the car with an amazing husband. God will give you a great thing. Not because you're earning or deserve it, but because he loves you. And we receive these things by faith. So we receive the promises of God, his free power of grace through faith, right? So all you have to do is find out what God provided for you in his word. So you must read the Bible in context. Guys, your scripture of your day out, that's real cute, but you're really not going to grow. Because they just cherry pick things out of context, and you're going to miss a lot of the depth of God's word, and there's some hard scriptures. How many know tough love is good love? That'll save your life. All your parents will give tough love to your kids because you love them. God gives some tough love, but if you just cherry pick all the little sugar and sweet sunshine things, you're going to miss the depth of God's word and transformation in your life. So you've got to find out what God provided for in his word. All right, I'm going to get my quarterback up here. All right, my quarterback has picked a receiver. If God gives me a football analogy, you know it's the Lord. Because once again, I'm there for the nachos and buffalo chicken dip. All right, so this is Deontay. He's an incredible youth leader here. All right, here's my quarterback. We've got the ball. All right, picking a faith receiver. And I need an interceptor of unbelief. All right, pick them up. So, all right, well, I'm going to teach this. Let's see how everybody's ADD works here. You're healed well in Jesus' name. Okay, Deontay is my quarterback. Deontay, who is your receiver, your faith receiver? Trevor's your faith receiver. Okay, so I want you on that side. Don't hit anybody. Don't break anything. I trust you both. Okay, two different sides here. Okay, not, okay, yeah, you can do this over me. Maybe in front of me. Maybe in front of me. All right, Davion. Gossip, just have fun, Sherry. Get off your nonsense. Davion is my interceptor, okay? So his goal is, what do you want to do? Anything to get the ball, right? Anything to keep the receiver, the faith receiver, from catching that ball. All right, now don't do anything yet. All right, get back to my notes here. This is about to get messy. How many, gets fun at church. Okay, so when you find out what God has provided for you in the Word by His grace, it's free. God has good things for you, not because you're perfect, because He loves you. And then you position yourself by faith to receive. That football right there is the endless supply of God's grace for your life. Okay? All right. When you position yourself by faith to receive, faith is the positive response we have to grace. All that Jesus has already won and provided for you, won and done at the cross, is freely given to us by His grace. Right? By grace through faith. We receive it by faith. It is not earned by good works. So God is the ultimate quarterback. Everybody cheer for Deontay. Okay. He has an endless supply of grace. Grace upon grace. Spiritual gift upon spiritual gift. There's fun scripture on that. I don't have time to preach it. He's got the football of grace. And it is being propelled our way through the finished work of the cross. Go ahead. Okay? You just need your faith receiver up. Right, to receive all that God has for you. But a receiver must be ready, expectant, positioned, and he needs to know what he's getting from the Lord, right? So your faith receiver has to be up. He is ready, in position, expectant, asking for the ball. His eyes are always on quarterback Jesus to receive all he has for him. His eyes are always on the Word of God, which Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, right? Because the moment our faith receiver gets distracted, we can miss receiving all that God has for us. Okay. Faith appropriates what God provides by grace. It is vitally important to keep your faith receiver on, up, expectant, eye on Jesus to receive all He has for you. Unbelief is our greatest blocker to our faith receiver. Unbelief is like when our football player intercepts and smacks down the grace football. All right, so can you give that football back to our quarterback here? Jesus. All right, that's grace. That is all that God has provided for you. That is healing, provision, restoration. That is everything that is in the Word of God. Every promise. Now, if you get a little distracted, or ready for this, if you got too much unbelief, if you have too many interceptors right here, David, you got this, right? I'm believing you. All right, clap for Davion. He's got this. All right, he's our bad guy right now. We're cheering for you. Okay. Unbelief comes in when God sends the grace, the provision, the promise. Go ahead. Unbelief jumps in to intercept our faith receiver. All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you. All right. And how many people know when you are believing God for breakthrough, for that touchdown win, if you're not careful and you have too much unbelief in your life, that thing can smack down, that can steal us receiving all that God has for us. So unbelief can get in us, and today I really want to talk about when it gets around us. Because we all wrestle with it, all of us. All of us. But man, we get a little extra because it's around you, and the relationships around you can really mess with us receiving all that God has for us. All right, Romans 4, 16 through 21. This is a little long, so like, dig in. Please go back and read it. All right. I'm reading this. I'm kind of squishing together the New Living Translation with the Amplified Bible for some clarity here. So this is when we're talking about Abraham. So inheriting the promise is received by faith. Remember our faith receiver over here? It depends entirely on faith. That is confident trust in the unseen God. People know it is hard to trust and have confidence in someone you cannot see. It's hard. So that it may be given as a free gift and act of grace, we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, whether or not you're perfect or not. And how many know We're not. Stop faking it, okay? All right. If we have faith like Abraham, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. Now, this wasn't in my notes, but I was thinking about it. God asked Abraham to leave what was very familiar to him because it was a community of idolatry, and it held him back. And God goes, hey, Abraham, I'm going to put a little space over here so it's going to be easier to receive the promise of all I have for you. Go back and read it. It's super fun. All right. There we go. Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you father of many nations. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had father Abraham. I am one of them. So every promise that was given to Abraham, we also can receive by faith. Okay. This happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to every dead situation in your life, everything that seems beyond repair, every broken place of your heart, which you don't think God can heal, he brings dead things back to life. He is the resurrection and the life. And I am crucified in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And that means everything was ever lost and every mistake and every past brokenness I ever had on that cross. Christ, so it can be restored and resurrected. Our God will resurrect things in ways you will not believe if you do not live in him. So get off your timeline and say, but God, it needs to look like this. Let him resurrect and restore things in ways that will blow your mind if you can get him out of the box and off your timeline. Because a lot of our hurt and disappointment, distrust and unbelief in God is because, God, I wanted to do it that way in that through that person, and it didn't work. He says, are you going to let me do my thing? You going to step back and let me do something higher and greater? Because guess what? God can't make you do anything. And if you're looking for an answer through a source or a person, you've got your eyes off the quarterback faith receiver. And you got disconnected because someone else became the source of that restoration in your life. God says, get your eyes on me. I might have to do something higher and greater because they have a free will decision to make. And they can jump on board my program of God's best or what? They can settle for less. And if someone that you are believing that God is going to answer through decides, I don't want to go with God's highest and best, that's their free will decision. Let it go, okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Maybe give it a little time because you know what? You wanted it yesterday and God says, well, they're where they're at right now, I got a lot of work to do. It's going to take them 2 years. So can you keep your faith receiver on? I'm going to do my thing. Your thing is to stay in faith. Keep your eyes on him. Not on the person, not on the situation. Might be a job. God, come on. What are you going to promote me? And God goes, hey, I can't make your team do this. I can't make your boss. They are resisting me. Give me a little time, and guess what? I'm going to bring another opportunity. I know you have the courage and the faith to go apply for something you are totally unqualified for, but guess what? You are qualified in Christ Jesus. Amen. Yeah. All right, we're having fun. Thanks, Lord. This happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life, who creates new things out of nothing, calls into being that which does not exist. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping. Every doctor report rolls in and it is counter to what God promises. My hope is in him. I am anchored in him. I'm going to talk about anchor next time. He kept hoping. He kept his eyes on Jesus. He kept his what? Faith receiver. Even though at about the age of 100 years old, he figured his body was as good as dead, as good as it's going to get. So was Sarah's womb. But Abraham did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and empowered by faith. As he gave, how did his faith keep getting stronger? As he gave praise and glory to God. Says, why do we take up so much time to give praise and glory to God. Why is that so vitally important to a healthy church and a healthy life? Did you know if the only time you ever give praise and glory to God is on Sunday morning for 35 minutes, you're going to have a receiver problem? There are going to be footballs of blessing and provision, and you're just going to be missing it because you're like, hanging out with negative Nancy and hanging out with all the haters and all the cynics and putting your little Facebook post of all the ugliness. Well, didn't we're all going to hell in hand. That's here comes the recession. Go to church on Sunday. The rest of the week. Okay. You wonder why you're not getting any breakthrough in your life. For real, guys, you're being a faker. You need a home worship life and a home Thanksgiving life. I mean, I have to drive the car worship life. How many of you got a little 15-minute commute, okay? You know, run to the grocery store, whatever. I do the gym. I am just always trying to get the sources of unbelief out of my life and stay filled with praise and thanksgiving and His Word, because then we grow strong and empowered by faith. Our faith receiver keeps staying connected. Verse 21, he was fully convinced that God is able. Everybody say, God is able to do whatever He promises. You know what your job is? Go find out what He promised you. Don't trust me. Go read it for yourself. That's how cults form. I'm not doing a cult. It's gross. It's weird. Okay? Read your Bible for yourself. I'm here to just kind of give a little Holy Spirit confirmation of what the Lord is always, already speaking through His Word. Please be reading it for yourself. It's my job. Hopefully, God's like, see, I told you that yesterday. Pastor Sherry is telling you the same thing. I wanted to hear it here first. That's not helping. Okay. So every day we must consider where we are giving our attention. You have to consider where you are focusing, whom and what you are listening to, what you are feeding the most. Because if you are feeding unbelief through negative reports, worry, fear, complaining, grumbling, you know what keeps you out of the promised land? Complaining. That tells God, you know what is better for your life more than He does. Complaining tells God, you know what is better for your life than He knows. You follow me? We all do it. So just repent right away. Okay, oh God, I'm sorry, I was grumbling. All right. Are we feeding unbelief or are we feeding our faith receiver? Word, thanksgiving, praise, people of encouragement in our life. Are we feeding doubt, the cares, the weights of this world? We're feeding unbelief. What beast do you want to feed here? I don't want to feed the beast of unbelief. We do it most of the time. Struggle. I get it. All right. So if you're having trouble receiving breakthrough and walking in the promises of God, it might not just be because, how do I say this? There's a lot of condemnation, which I don't think is healthy, when people are like, you just didn't have enough faith. That's Satan talking to you. Listen, that has caused a lot of damage, and I will never preach it here. I will teach faith, okay? God does a lot with little faith, but there are all these other factors, and there are these things called the mysteries. I am not so proud and arrogant to think I got it all figured out, and when I don't have the answers, I'm just going to say, I don't know. But this is what God's Word says, and I'm going to just figure it out on the other side when I'm with you. And there's a great peace and humility in saying that. Okay. So remember, I'm not giving you a formula. I'm giving you some spiritual principles based on the Word of God. All right. And the spiritual principles here, how many people know that faith and unbelief can coexist in your life? How many people have faith in your life? How many people are dealing with some unbelief in your life? Okay. So it might just be we're feeding the beast of unbelief. Because God can do a lot with a little faith. But we got a big beast of unbelief on this side. It might be not so much in you, but what's around you. We're going to talk about that. So unbelief will counteract. It will counterbalance. Think of two scales here. You know, scales of justice. You got all this doubt, negativity, criticism, cynicism. How many people like love hanging out with skeptics? All you know, the sarcastic people, I love sarcasm. But if I'm hanging out with skeptics, you just feel like you got to take a shower at the end of hanging out with them, right? And you're feeding the beast on this side. So what my faith receiver on this side has got nothing to go off of. What are you feeding? Unbelief will counteract, counterbalance, disconnect, short-circuit your faith receiver. So we're going to clean house today. We're going to clean clean our hearts today. God's probably going to talk to you about cleaning up some of your relationships today. Unbelief blockers. So why is allowing unbelief to go unchecked so dangerous? Because unbelief will rob you of breakthrough that you are standing in faith for. Once again, we are standing in faith for things, right? But unbelief gone unchecked will intercept what we are believing for. All right. When we get too much unbelief, it counteracts, disconnects, sometimes can short-circuit our faith receiver. All right, Mark 9:20-24, I didn't have enough time to go into it again because I actually taught it in depth on part one. So please go up and check it out. It's on our website, it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube. So I had to kind of make this short and go into some other things. And I dug into this story in depth. And it's when the boy was afflicted with a spirit, an afflicting spirit that was blocking the healing of epilepsy in his life. How many people know epilepsy is a physical problem? It's something in your, it's a problem with your brain working, right? You have problems with your heart working, right? So go back and listen to it, dig into it. But in that message here, I want to say this. Unbelief can hinder us from receiving all that God has for us in life, especially emotional and physical healing. How many people know that God wants you, your emotions to be healthy? He wants you to have healthy relationships. If you want to have healthy relationships, you got to have a healthy emotions. You have to have healthy communication. You have to have a healthy way of seeing yourself. Remember, we kicked shame in the teeth last week, right? God also wants you physically healthy and healed. All right, so verse 22, the father asked Jesus, but if you can, he's talking to Jesus, but if you can do anything, take pity on us, help us. So Jesus is now kind of just sensing, oh, he has faith. He came to me in faith, but we have some unbelief, right? I read people, the what ifs. I dealt with a lot of what ifs in December. I was not in a healthy place. Did a lot of crying during worship, okay? That's okay. Because I was working on building my faith and uprooting sources of unbelief, okay? So Jesus was sensing his unbelief in that statement. So Jesus questioned the Father to get him to change his thinking. You know, sometimes the Bible will make you think. It'll present questions. And you go, oh, that's not really healthy, Lord. I repent of that. I'm going to uproot this, right? So Jesus questioned him. So Jesus explained to him in verse 23, if you can, if I can, all things are possible to him who believes. So what do you do? He started faith, beating his faith receiver over here. Okay? And then, okay, verse 24, the father, realizing his mistake and unbelief, the father immediately cries out, I do believe. I do have faith. Right? He says, help me overcome my unbelief. What's he acknowledging? I have faith in my life. I have unbelief. They can coexist at the same time. So stop beating yourselves up. We all are dealing with both of them. Okay? So after hearing the father's change of heart, in other words, he's like, okay, you can do impossible things. What? He fed his faith through the word of God, through a promise. And Jesus, with the little faith that he had, right? He had a little faith. He fed that little faith, okay? And Jesus cast out a spirit of affliction that was blocking healing. All right, so the whole point I want to acknowledge this is faith and unbelief can exist at the same time. What are we feeding, right? So Matthew 17:19-20, the New King James Version says this. Afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out the demon? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. So assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith, raise your hand if you have faith, as a mustard seed. How many people know there's one of the smallest little seeds? Those ones like you lose in the packet. Yep, where is it? Okay. It says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So mustard seeds are really, really small, right? But when you put it in some good ground and you water it and you give it some time, it grows. And how many people, okay, someone asked recently about like our parking lot. How many of you know when you get little cracks in your parking lot, it's because one little seed got in there, a tiny little seed, and something started sprouting and growing. So little tiny seeds can do a lot of breakthrough, right? If you give it time and you water it and so forth. So that little mustard seed can break through rock. Now what happens if unbelief, the disruptor, comes on in and pulls a little root up and sticks it back in? I do this all the time. This is called what if. Right? But if damage is the root, and it's just going to take longer to be fruitful. I did this. I had to plant my bean plant in kindergarten like 3 times because I'm very impatient. It's like, oh, yeah, come on, kindergartens, right? You know, they'll put the little bean in there, and you like stare at it every day. I want people have kids, and they pull the bean plant up, and they stick it back in, pull it up, stick it back in. This pull it up, stick it back in. Why is it not working? Dad, Mom, everybody else's bean plant has fruit on it. Everybody else is like, God, she's not a good husband. I'm not a good husband. You see my day on swipe this. God, seriously, not that kind doesn't work. Complaining. Give God some time. Keep talking. Brian, I know. We do. Okay. Give it some time. Don't settle. Raise the bar. Okay. Here we go. I'm distracted now. It's funny. I got that deal alone. Valentine's Day. My husband's birthday is this week.
Talk really good, act a certain way, wear the suit jacket before God can use you, that baloney.
is not in the Bible. It's actually opposite in the Bible. So please read for yourself when that religious person goes, oh no, you can't be on the worship team because you look a certain way. Oh no, you can't apply for that job because you don't have these qualifications. Oh no, you're not good enough to teach the kids because you know what you did last year. That's religion. It's not in the Bible. Right? I'm good with God because of my faith in Him. Alright? So, what damages our faith and fuels the atmosphere of unbelief is based a lot on misinformation of Scripture out of context in the Bible. Religious traditions and catchphrases that are not in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. Some people thought that was a Scripture. It's not in the Bible. But please, take some action. Okay? Please get a job. Won't God provide for you? Get a job. Get a job. Or, but, I would say this. Religious people have so much pride in their life. Like, it just, you get around them, it just makes you want to go, what? Right? They just think they got it all figured out. And you, like, share your testimony, they're like, but what about this theological thing by so-and-so, I can't pronounce their last name? You're like, I don't know, but this is what the Bible says. I'm just moving on. I actually don't debate. And I can tell you all these theological terms, and you'd be like, what? I don't really care. I won't even say their names, because it just doesn't matter. But there's these philosophies, these theologies. And God told you to keep it simple. Why? Because He told you to go into all the world, to every people group. That means people that have no education whatsoever, people that have language barriers. You got to keep the gospel really simple to tell people about Jesus. Please keep it simple. And when people try to confuse you, what about this? What about that? What about that? You know, I'll get to the other side. You know, no, please educate yourself. There are some people that are called into the academic community. Thank God for C.S. Lewis. I've read his works, changed my life. He was called into it. But it's okay. You don't have to have all these like little theologies down. It's okay, because sometimes it feeds pride in your life. Pride comes before the fall, because it's really hard when you know so much that you can explain yourself out of believing that Jesus heals for today. People are super smart, and they're like, oh, Jesus doesn't heal today. That time is the last apostle. Blah, blah, blah. It's not proud. And then they're spewing that unbelief in your life. All right, I'm off topic. God's like, get on topic. Yes, sir. All right, Mark 13:15. Disciples also struggled with unbelief, okay? And they saw miracle, sign, wonder, blah, blah, blah. So if you're like, God, I'm going to have unbelief until I see it. They saw it, and they struggled with unbelief, okay? Mark 13:15. Jesus responded. So they were in the storm. How many people are surrounded by negative circumstances, impossible things? Look like everything's sinking. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. And then He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. It is really easy to get overwhelmed with unbelief, especially when it's all around you and it's pressing in. And listen, you need to be educated. You need to know what's going on in the world. Don't live in a hole. Like, you need to know what's going on in our government. You need to know what's going on in world events. You need to know about what earthquakes are going on in the world. So we need to pray. We need to take action. We need to do our part, right? But if you are obsessing and you're just listening to it all day long, 24 hours a day, you are just feeding the storm around you, and then you're the doom and gloomer hoarding toilet paper and, you know, just got like 20 gallons of beans delivered to you. And my husband hates beans, so we're never going to be hoarding that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't, you know, when we run out, God will provide. Feeding on negativity, whatever you give your attention to will feed it, right? Whatever you focus on will consume you and can block your breakthrough. So Mark 6:5-7, New Living Translation. Jesus was in his hometown. Jesus was in his hometown that was filled with all these overly familiar people. So, you know, I was essentially born and raised in this church. Every dumb thing I've ever done, Lane can remind me, because, like, we went to youth group together. And, you know, I was a pretty much idiot until I was 21, and I caught a flu at 26, so late memory. You know, it's so interesting when you're, like, preaching, and then someone comes up to you, like, I remember changing your diaper. I'm like, why are you thinking about that right now? Just feel really weird. Thank you for reminding me of that. You know, and what is it? Sometimes the familiarity of people that have known you forever and know all your mistakes, and here you're trying to tell them about Jesus or pray for them for healing, they're like, oh, I remember when you did that crazy thing at the bar last year. And you're like, shut up! Okay? So sometimes the overfamiliarity of the people that just kind of knew too much about you, their unbelief their unbelief can affect them receiving from you. And that's their loss, and that's okay. So don't beat yourself up. Okay, because even Jesus, who's perfect, they disqualified him because they just knew too much about him. Oh, we know your brothers. We know your sisters. We knew, you know, this and this about you. We remember when you built your first table. I'll be eating on it today, you know. So he's trying to minister in his hometown, and it says, because of their unbelief, Jesus couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Putting your hands on someone is in the Bible. You don't have to make it weirder than it has to be, okay? So you don't have to go put your hand on someone's head and then 45-degree angle and yell and scream and shout. Okay? You don't have to do that. I encourage you in this church because we have a lot of people that didn't grow up in that environment or just, you know, normal people off the street. Just put your hand on their shoulder and you can just say it. You don't have to, like, you know, make it weird and ask me and just say, in the name of Jesus, I command, you know, diabetes to go. In the name of Jesus, and we just release your healing power. And we just call their blood sugar levels balanced in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that they have the courage and the strength to take care of their bodies in the way the doctor's orders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Real simple. So it says, Jesus placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He was amazed at their unbelief. So the Greek translation says that they could just do a few, he could just heal a few minor ailments. God cares about your small stuff. Why do we have more faith for small stuff versus big faith? Because we haven't exercised enough faith for the small stuff. If you don't exercise your faith for the common cold, when the big C-bomb of cancer comes, you're not going to have develop those muscles to have faith. That's okay. And listen, God can use whatever faith you have, little or small. He just wants you to use it. So if the first time you're exercising your faith is for cancer, guess what? You're going to need to call in the team. You call in the family and every person that's ever kicked cancer in the teeth by the power of Jesus, and you feed on those testimonies. Big faith, small faith. God just wants you to use it and plant it. But you need to exercise it. All right. So if Jesus, the Son of God, the power receiver, right, got drowned out by the intersection of familiarity and doubt and belief in his own hometown. Unbelief is a big issue. God can do a lot with a little faith. The unbelief stuff, that can drown out. Once again, it's not always in you. It's also sometimes what the people around you. All right. Over-familiarity, judgment, criticism, cynicism of the crowd will feed the atmosphere of unbelief. We think it only affects ourselves, but also hinder what God wants to do in a group of people, like this church or this region in your county. How many know revival starts in us? You want to pray for revival? You better be in revival. You're waiting for revival to hit until you're in revival. You got it all wrong and backwards. Where's wildfire starting? One little match. Be the match in your own life. And then a group of people in revival come together, we have revival. But if you're coming here waiting to catch revival, you gotta go. Alright, the company we keep feeds the beastly thief of unbelief. Sounding good on us. Mark 8:23-25. Says, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. I did a study on this. I thought this was interesting. So when Jesus saw there was so much unbelief in the group around him, he took him aside to minister healing to him. How many people know that this? Sometimes, have you ever been in the atmosphere of spectation? It's kind of annoying. It's people kind of like this. Hey, what you going to do? You know, people sit in the back of the service, you know, what you going to do? There's a difference between the spectators in the stands and the players in the field. God does not want you in the stand spectating. He wants you in the field with balls. Sometimes people spectate for entertainment. Oh, they went out for healing. Oh, let's see if this healing thing's for real. Unbelief in the atmosphere. We are to actively participate with their faith. Even if they got a little, guess what? I'm going to add my faith to theirs. So when someone comes up, instead of us, you know, talking to someone and texting on our phone, why don't you go, God, I thank you. You are the healer. And I don't even know what they went up for. But Lord, I just extend my faith to theirs. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you. They are healing the whole Lord God. Just start praying scripture. Yeah. And join their faith to theirs. It can make all the The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly." So you've got a little thing on the side, right? And they look like trees walking around. And then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. Sometimes there's extremes in a movement that you pray once. Listen, whatever. Pray once in faith, I get it. But thank God, I don't know, God says pray again. Just, you know, just do whatever the Lord tells you to do. Jesus prayed twice, okay? Jesus didn't have unbelief, maybe. Sorry, focus, okay. Then Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened, and his sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. So my thoughts on this, my speculation, my question is, the blind man, I believe, might have been just so stretched in his faith to receive. He needed all the help he could get. It takes a lot to embarrass me, just my personality type, but I do get embarrassed. But you know those other people, a little bit more meek, a little bit more quiet? Sometimes they just might need to just sit down in the front row, or maybe in the back, and have you just share some scriptures of Jesus' will to heal them, right? And they just probably, now listen, come up to the altar call, do whatever God says, but I do know there's some people that, like, they're just thinking everybody's looking at me, and they disconnected their faith receiver because everybody's looking at me, I'm embarrassed enough. So God's going to meet you wherever you're at. Whatever faith you're at, God will meet you at it. So just be, listen, there's no formula in ministry. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So if you're like, well, that person needs to go up, and you drag them up there, and you didn't say, Holy Spirit, do I just need to minister to them right here beside me? Do you know God can heal them right next to you just as much as you can heal them at the altar? But listen, if God says go up to the altar and you're like, no, I just want to be ministered to you down here, you might miss it. So please, remember we talked about prophetic acts of obedience? Do whatever he tells you to do. All right. Mark 7:32-35. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to Jesus, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. There's a lot of emotion going on here. A lot of emotion, and sometimes in those emotions, I would say this, you know, faith is not emotion. Did you know that? Faith is not a feeling. It's a choice. And some people think they need to yell and scream and wail and cry and bang on the ground to get a miracle. They don't. It's faith. Some people think to raise the dead, they need to yell and scream and bang on their chest. You don't. If the Lord says to go do it, I'll tell you, Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. I think when there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of emotions, they can sometimes disconnect from faith. I've seen ministers whip people up into hysterics, and it's just straight up emotion. They want a big show. Like, I know some of the people that have been around a long time. You don't need to whip people up in their emotions and their scares. I don't need to get everyone to scream and shout and clap for God to move. That is works. That's trying to earn a miracle. You don't need to do that. But do whatever the Lord tells you to do. You hear me? If the Lord says, hey, I want everyone to just shout and clap and praise, you do whatever the Lord tells you to do, but you don't have to whip people up in their emotions for God to move. Because in this case, verse 33, Jesus took him aside privately away from the crowd. And he put his fingers on the man's ears, and then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, be opened. And did Jesus scream and yell, be opened? Huh. Instantly, the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. So I want to end on this thought here. You know, we've done a lot of teaching on healing in here. God is rebuilding the foundation in your life. Do not allow your experiences to define your belief system.
Amen.
I have to feed consistently on testimonies of healing because of losses in my life that feed on belief.
Amen.
It's okay. I tell you, I love Andrew Womack. He's a great teacher on healing. And he's a cowboy. He's not emotional. But I'll tell you, if you just want to click and listen to some powerful testimonies of God healing autism, man, how many little God heals the brain? He's got just powerful testimonies that stirs your faith. I love Bill Johnson. Tons and tons of testimonies of schizophrenia being healed over the course of a year, like a fig tree. I feed on testimonies, especially for mental illness, because there's some unbelief on that side because of experiences in my life. Randy Clark, man, tumors falling off, if you've ever been in an accident, they put a metal, like, rod in your spine, and the metal going away, and God recreating bone. by faith, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony in front of every one person that I've ever buried and I'm tired of wearing the black outfit. Most of the people we love this week. My experiences do not define my belief system or my doctrine. And I feed on the testimonies of Jesus. And you go, I don't know where to find these guys. Well, you know, I'll give you some links. Well, you know what? I feed on the testimonies of Jesus. They're the most powerful ones. And look how he's healing all these people. Where are we at, Lord? Thank you. Sometimes you've got to clear all the emotions and the drama and the cynics and the naysayers and the skeptics and the haters out of the room. And when they're in their own family tree, that's a little bit awkward, so be nice. But Jesus had to do it too. Mark 5, 21 through 24. 35 through 43. We're going to go short. A leader of the local synagogue, his name was Jairus, saw Jesus, and he fell at his feet, pleading fervently, "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Come, please, lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus didn't respond because he got emotional. He responded because a man had a need and there was faith. Not because of the need, but there was faith. Okay? You don't need to beg God to do something he already wants to do. Did you hear me on that one? All right. "Please lay your hands on her and heal her so she can live." This is a father for his daughter, his child, 12 years old. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, a crowd around him. How many people know the people in your crowd that are following you are not always in a good place? And I'm not saying cut them off. I'm just saying when you're fighting for your life, you might need to swap out your inner circle. Do you hear me? Now, I've heard people do this the wrong way. They're like, "Oh, I'm not telling anybody because I don't want their unbelief." That's baloney. You better build your team of faith. You better put some strong faith in your inner circle. Right? So when I had some big things coming, I have some friends at other churches and even within this church, and they know every detail about it. I actually got this ready. My inner circle, I had to swap some things around a little bit. It's okay. You know, you're good people, you know, your best friend, friends, high school, and you know, your sister and things like that. You love them, they're your family, they're your inner circle, they're your bestie, right? But when you got like a big, ugly doctor's report, and maybe they're really shaky on the whole healing thing, you better kind of pull in some people in your inner circle, right? You better pull in some higher faith, some big faith, some people that got some testimonies. So the problem is sometimes people push out the unbelief people, but they don't pull in the faith team. That's an excuse to isolate. Don't do it. I'm going to call you out. York County gets really isolated. It's the culture up here. It's, you know, Pennsylvania Dutch. We kind of like only hang out with us four no more and only our family. Listen, God, why don't you have some friends and people of faith? All right. So what happens? Verse 35. The messengers arrive from the home of Jairus. So they're on their way. And then this interceptor came in and they said to the leader of the synagogue, they told him, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith. Don't let this grief and this fear feed your unbelief, feed your faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except the faith team, Peter, James, and John. This is where people get off. "Oh, I don't want to let anybody go to this situation. I don't want their unbelief." Listen, let the faith team in. If you don't have a team faith, please go to a broker. I will help find you a team faith. Okay? People of faith. Jesus separated himself from the spectators and the unbelief and surrounded himself with close friends of great faith who had his back standing in faith for a miracle. So verse 38. And they came to the home of the synagogue leader. And Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing and drama queens just having it out. Have you ever been to like a certain funeral where just people making it all about them? Excuse me, I know I have to be careful how I say that. It was not that one recently that was like this, but I've been to ones where someone just makes it all about them. And it's sad. Like, it is. Pray for them, okay? So Jesus went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep. This is a declaration of faith, right? And the crowd began laughing and ridiculing him. So this really reveals what's in people's hearts. You know, a lot of people say they're a Christian and they're a believer. But man, when stuff hits the fan and things get real and that doctor's report rolls in and all they have is death. I'm trying to figure out which one to share here. There's a lot of people that you think are in faith until an emergency happens, a pandemic happens, and all they have is fear, doubt, unbelief, put downs. I had a situation, and it's okay, be careful how I share it, but just something very, very dear to my heart. And I called two people in my family. It's okay, I love my family, you know, like it was fine. But their faith was not developed in this particular area of my life. Does that make sense? It's okay, they have faith in other areas of life. But in this particular one, and this person actually has a good relationship with God, and I love them, but they were not in faith in this particular area of my life. And I got like correction and put downs and doubt, unbelief, and it shook me and took me out for a month. It rattled me to my core. This person really loves me and they love Jesus. It just was an area that they had not developed their faith muscle for. Okay? Didn't cut them out of my life. Love them. I just called some of my, you know, the bridesmaids and, you know, those like people, you know those people that are in the trenches with you, and they had developed their faith in this. And I called them all in, so I didn't isolate myself. I just got the faith team in. And I got back in the business in January. That's okay. Be careful how I say things. All right. So this really revealed what was in their heart. They started mocking Jesus, okay? And it became a big drama show. So I want to say this. Jesus had to clear out the naysayers, the mockers, the negative Nancys, the haters, the cynics, the critics, the doom and gloomers. Listen, if your favorite book of the Bible is the book of Revelation, I love you. Like a certain type that just like sometimes makes my life harder. Okay, so that's your favorite book of the Bible. Listen, it's in the Bible, it's awesome, but I'm gonna say this. If you were just ushering in the end times all the time, you're probably not my faith team. You're swing low, sweet chariot, get me out of here stuff. Okay, like listen, we got plenty of people to get born again, saved, healed, and all that stuff. So it's very interesting, certain Christians focus here. All right. So you have to center yourself in the Word, worship in the presence of Jesus. All right, Mark 5, 40-42. After he had put them all outside, he cleared the room. He took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples, his faith team, that all had sometimes little faith, right? Some type of faith for this healing, right? Put him in the room when the little girl was lying. And holding her hand, he said to her, "Little girl, get up." And the girl was 12 years old and immediately stood up and walked around. And they were overcome with total amazement. So I want to end on this thought here. Let's just all stand up. My challenge to you out of this message is I think it's time to clean house a little bit in your heart and in your inner circle. And start building your faith team. And if you don't have people of stronger faith in your life, please talk to me, Pastor D, Amber, elders, or leaders. We will get you in a group of people on for you. But you need to be in a place once a week where you are for real, telling people what is for real going on in your life. And they're going to kick your tail a little bit, going, "That's not faith, that's unbelief. And we're on your team. We're not going to put you down. We're going to build you up. I'm going to encourage you every day. I'm going to send you a scripture every day. You know what? I'm going to send you a worship song every day. And we are going to give your faith receiver back up to receive all God has for you. Because I don't want you to settle for less than the best of what God has. We need to build your team." Matthew 7, 6 says, "Do not give to the dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before swine. If you do, they may trample them under feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." There are people that have dreams and callings and vision in their heart, things that God has called you to do that you are totally unqualified for. And when you share that dream in your heart, all people do is remind you of your past. All people do is remind you of your shortcomings. You can't do this, you can't do this. The pearls, the gems, the treasures of your heart, you need to share those with people that will encourage you, build you up, and strengthen you in faith. You'll promise people will go, "Oh, someone put me down, someone, when I shared my hope, my dream, and they just kind of like poo-pooed it, or they just kind of, you know, they just kind of blew me off." And then you isolate it, and now you don't share your heart with them. That's not healthy. And God says, "Listen, I'm going to build your team of faith. You need to go. You need to call them up. You need to do coffee. You need to go to lunch with them. Guys, it's time to kind of like let that wall down. Clean house and your heart starts swapping out and build your team. Because we are moving into a great season right now and God wants to use you. But he is going to put you on teams. Jesus sent them out two by two. It's time for you to get some healthy friendships in your life and healthy partners in the ministry. All right, let's get quiet here. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word, your scripture. Lord, and we just say, search our heart, God. Search our heart. If there are areas of unbelief, Lord, if there were just people that have hurt us, authority figures, parents that made these promises that they never kept, now I think you're not going to keep your promise. Right now, we forgive that person right now in Jesus' name. We just forgive it. We just let it go. We erase the sin debt. Jesus, I thank you. You're restoring a healthy image of Father God. Jesus, you said, I'm just like him. You want to know my dad? I'm just like him. And Jesus, you healed every person that came to you. Every person that came to you was good enough. Even when they were the greatest sinner in town, you embraced them. You ran out to meet them. You restored them, and you put them on your team, and you had to preach the gospel. The woman at the well, Peter, just Paul, like all these people that everyone else just said, you're not good enough, you're a mess up, you're a sinner, you're a murderer, you're the prostitute, you're the thief, and God says, you're perfect for me. I'll take you just as you are. Lord, we forgive all the people that have put us down and said we're not good enough. We forgive them right now. And Lord, I thank you those words that Satan has used to torment us, demonic spirits of doubt, unbelief, fear, put down shame, we break those off right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you right now. You're restoring vision. You're restoring dreams and callings. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. They will not be taken away, but someone just kind of trampled on your dream. The treasures of your heart were not valued and they put you down. Lord, we forgive that person. And you are restoring vision. And Lord God, we receive courage by faith to step out and do what you've called us to do. It is walk on water here. It's time to get out of the boat. If the Lord has called you to start a business, take some action steps. If the Lord has called you to apply for a certain job, take an action step. If the Lord has called you to launch a grow group, it's time. The Lord is calling you into community and teams. He doesn't send you out alone. So, Lord, now we just say, Lord, whoever you call us to be friends with, to partner in ministry, people of faith, to stir each other up, to encourage each other, to build each other up. Lord, I thank you. You're showing faces right now and names. And, Lord, as soon as we're done praying, I thank you. Texts are going out to have a coffee, to get together, invite their family over for dinner, to go out for lunch today. Lord God, we thank you for divine connections. Lord, we thank you. You are strengthening your faith team. Faith without works is dead. So whatever the Lord's telling you, you better write it to yourself right now and go do it immediately. It creates great breakthrough. In Jesus' name, we are kicking unbelief in the teeth. And Lord, we are moving forward. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer in your life, I'm telling you, there are some dreams and callings that you haven't stepped out on. This ministry team would love to pray for you. So ultimately, you come forward. Do you need healing in your body?